So friends, let us begin today's discussion of this great scripture with our usual chant. Vande practically realize it. Both these things are very important, and it is called, technically speaking, as Brahma Vidya and Yoga Shastra. The understanding is important, and then molding our life according to that understanding, that is still more important. So both these things are presented together. This scripture gives a very thorough analysis of how human mind sways away from the goal of life, does not see the things in the proper way, gets attached to various transient and passing things, and thus suffers a lot. We all seek happiness in life, and therefore the great teachers of the world show how we can actually get it. Wanting and getting are not always the same thing. Wanting is of course an important thing, that I want happiness. We do not need to be taught that. Even a little child says that I want happiness. There is quite a universal agreement on this thing. But how many actually end up getting it? We see very few. The life keeps on searching for it, but getting happiness is not easy, and the reason is, while we want it, we do not apply the proper methods to get it. If we apply proper methods, scientifically studied and properly understood methods, then there is no reason why we won't get happiness in life. And so, Lord has analyzed that what is the real problem, and right from the beginning of the second chapter, after Arjuna expresses the tremendous grief that he is caught in. The grief comes to our life. Everybody now and then suffers lesser and greater degrees of grief. Of various types, various reasons could be there for the grief. But the grief does come. The form of its appearance could be different. Sometimes it comes as a big frustration. You were wanting something and didn't get it. A big blow comes in the form of frustration. Sometimes it comes in the form of someone whom you were loving with all your heart. You were looking after the constant company of that person and you don't get it, and that comes as a big blow. And it is not frustration as such, but it is a grief of separation. Then there is another type that you get. You feel that, what am I to do in life? The purpose is not being seen. What am I living for? And your mind gets dragged in various different ways, and there is no peace that you can find. This is another way in which a person suffers, continuously dragged in different ways, not knowing what to do, what is to be done. So there are various ways in which one suffers. So we saw how Lord has beautifully analyzed these things and shown a practical way of going ahead. And it needs to be treaded on. One has to tread on that path diligently, not minding the obstacles, without getting the sense of impatience, that it is enough, how long do I have to keep on doing like this. One has to diligently persevere on this path, so the success then starts dawning up. It does come. And in this 18th chapter we were seeing that how there are the graded evolution. The course is different for different people, because all of us, although are looking for same thing, our psychophysical position or constitution is not the same. And so there are different tendencies. So it was being discussed that these tendencies are broadly classified in Indian philosophy as sattvika, rajasika and tamasika. That sattvika is something that we feel as the desire to know and desire to be in peace and a kind of serenity that we seek. All that is these are the signs of sattvika. You feel a sense of benevolence towards everybody. You don't want to be having animosity to anyone. You feel, well, there is a sense of hope and positive attitude comes in life. So these are all signs of sattvika temperament, sattvika attitude. then there is the rajasika attitude that makes us run after pleasures. Knowledge is not a priority there. Pleasure is priority, and there is a conviction inside. I mean, that conviction need not be verbally expressed, but that awareness is there that I should get this and this and this, then I will get lot of pleasure in life. All happiness depends only if I make this big business of mine ultimately successful, then all pleasures will be just coming to me automatically. Or various ideas that if I become graduate, that is where I will get all happiness in life. So a person runs after these things, thinking that they will be the source to make life successful and happy. And so it is a very intensely restless and active life. That is a rajasika life. Always this fellow is on run, never calm. Not that he is working a lot, but is restless a lot. Wants to do, cannot sit quiet for any big length of time. Always the thoughts rushing in and making this person get up and start doing something. So a rajasika temperament, and then a tamasika temperament, which is just wanting to be lazy, inertia. That is the characteristic here, that you are not feeling interest in anything, not because you have this sense of fulfillment, but because of that mood, that everything is bad, irritable mood, always finding that it is useless, this is every time the very pessimistic view of the world, criticizing everybody, ready to quarrel with everyone, and wants to be just inertiatic. So that inertia is the special sign of this attitude of tamasika. Now Lord described how therefore the knowledge of sattvika type, knowledge of rajasika type, and knowledge of tamasika type differ. Also how the three types of actions differ, three types of the workers, the actors, they differ, and how three types of these tenacities differ. Three types of understandings differ, three types of tenacities differ. So we saw all that. Now he takes up a very important factor connected with this discussion, and that is the happiness with which we began our class today, the search for happiness in our life. And this being a very basic search, our life gets guided by that. As one Upanishad, Chandogya Upanishad, mentions that look, atha sukham labdhva karoti, sukham alabdhva na karoti. If you get pleasure, you do something for it. If you don't get pleasure, you don't do it. It is as simple as that, getting pleasure. Now, the pleasure is looked for by all these three categories. But the idea of pleasure for each person is different. When there is more spark of knowledge and clearer understanding, and then you know the source of happiness. It is realizing your true self, because all happiness is really there. And therefore, this person's happiness will be in manifesting it, let me manifest my inner divinity, inner self more and more. Let me work for that. And that person looks for happiness in that. We see many, everybody has kind of a different thing that makes them happy. For a person, just seeing a baseball game or whatever makes happy. So they go for that. For some, going to certain parties, that makes them happy. For many, some kind of an academic success makes them happy. And for some, an evolution in their career, job career, that makes them happy. Some people feel very happy if they have a big family and connected with that, they feel very happy. So everybody has a different feel for happiness. Happiness is wanted, but the object differs. Even in most common things, that if you offer one person the ice cream, will be very happy. Another person may not be interested in that. A person like me offer hot chili peppers, will be very happy. Another person will find it very repulsive, would not go close to that. So the sources of happiness, for they differ, the understanding differs. So now Lord analyzes that how the sattvika, rajasika and tamasika temperaments, they, their pleasures are. This is very important, because when we change the source of pleasure, then our life changes. Because pleasure is what is pulling us. Pleasure is what is directing our life. And so, if our understanding of happiness evolves, then our life also will accordingly evolve. So, he describes that now, the 36th verse. Sukham tvidanim trividham shrunume bharatarshubha abhyasadramate yatra dukkhantam chanigachyati yattadagre vishamiva pariname mritopamam tat sukham sattvikam proktam atma buddhi prasadajam. These two verses taken together, 36th and 37th. Now hear from me, O Prince, among the Bharatas, of the threefold happiness. The happiness which one relishes through practice, in which one comes to the end of all pain, and which is like poison at first, but like nectar at the end, is declared to be sattvika, born of serenity of understanding, that concerns itself with the true self. So that is the sattvika happiness. Because a sattvika person knows the source of happiness, that it is in one's own true nature, the divine nature. Connect with it and you feel happiness. And therefore, that sattvika person's happiness lies in spiritual evolution. The happiness is not in going down, but is in evolution, climbing up. Now, climbing up, you have to work against gravity. And so, in the beginning, it is very difficult. It is not very pleasurable unless you are looking at the end result. It is hard work and is fraught with, you know, many challenges. One has to be very patient. So it is the process of evolution. Work, one has to work very diligently against the pulse of the sense organs, pulse of our mind that wants to run away from this thing. It is like that. It is with like children many times. If they need to study, we speak of children, and with grown-ups also the case is same, but the grown-ups are not usually put to that big test always. So we speak about children because they have to pass the school exams and they have to study. But then the mind goes here and there. It is a challenge to concentrate, to stick to it, to imbibe it, and make that understanding keep on growing. Now what happens when you actually understand by this intense study? Then you feel a different type of joy. I remember many times that you sit with some big, very difficult and intricate study, and while you are reading, it is very difficult. You feel it is not easy to understand that. You think about it again and again, ponder over it, read it again, and gradually start making sense of it. When the understanding dawns after maybe putting in, say, 20 hours of study, then for 20 hours there it was a struggle. But when it dawns, when you get that understanding, you get a happiness. A very different kind of happiness than what you can think of by getting, say, eating a candy or such thing. It is a different kind of happiness of evolution in knowledge. So, in the beginning, all these things are difficult, and so you don't feel the taste immediately for it. The taste goes in different directions. There are many children who therefore they feel no interest in studying because it is evolution. You have to work against the gravity that is pulling your senses down to the other objects of enjoyment. One has to work hard against it. And therefore it is said that if you want to have the wisdom or vidya, there is a beautiful couplet in Sanskrit that says that if you are looking for the pleasures, then you have to miss getting the wisdom. If you are looking for wisdom, then you have to keep those pleasures in abeyance. You have to give up those. So otherwise, well, you don't get it. Many do not feel that consciously all these things, but these things work unconsciously a lot. So it does happen when something that is elevating is being studied. You start feeling sleepy and giddy that, well, the book is there in front but nothing is going inside. At other times this person will not go to sleep. If he likes football, then will watch 6-7 hours without winking the eyes. But let a book that he or she has to study to learn mathematics, something very intricate, very difficult, then would look at the book. Then after a few minutes the eyes will become they are not reading, the book is in front there, but the eyes stop reading, the mind becomes dizzy, and the fellow falls asleep. Very difficult to keep that person awake. And there was, I had told you this story some time back, but it is worth remembering it again here. I had seen a cartoon in my childhood that those days the children were sitting, and then And normally they had a shaven head with a small tuft of hair there. So the dad comes and sees that the child, there is a small desk, and then the child, while reading the book, has dropped the head on the book and is asleep. Once or twice he told, "Hey, this is not right. You should study. Why you are asleep like this while studying? Hey, come on, don't do like that." Then it didn't achieve much, all this telling. So he decided that, okay, I will tie the tuft of this child with the ceiling up there with a rope, tightly tied rope, so that he will not be able to do like this and sleep. So that may help. So he tied, and thinking that now my son will be studying, went away after about half an hour or so, comes back and finds that with the rope only the tuft of hair is dangling and the fellow's head is on the desk asleep. Because it is tough, you know, it is really difficult to make the mind go up. It requires hard work, and therefore initially it appears like very difficult to take, tastes very bad. Oh, who wants to do all this drudgery? No, look, it is springtime, the life is meant for all these things, not for studying. So you get all these funny ideas, and thus studying becomes very difficult. So the sattvika person looks at the goal. The joy of this person is in spiritual evolution. The mind evolves, and as it evolves, what happens? It comes in closer contact with the source of happiness, and thus the happiness comes. The quality of this happiness is very different. This happiness didn't depend on getting something from the world, and therefore it lasts longer. And thus that person gets more propellant to evolve more, because now you know how you can get more joy. So this person goes on evolving more and more, spiritually speaking, by this tenacious efforts to evolve. That is the sattvika happiness, wants to become more and more spiritually evolved, and thus getting the happiness which lies in serenity. It lies in feeling peace. It lies in having that idea of benevolence. It is not becoming irritated and so forth. So this person gets that kind of happiness. Sattvika happiness lies in spiritual evolution, coming more and more in contact with the true source of happiness, and thus this happiness is more lasting. Now the rajasika happiness, there is this idea that my happiness lies here in this particular object, so you rush towards that. It is you are not trying to evolve spiritually, but accumulate more and more things around you. Let me have a bigger and better looking house. Okay, you get it. Then you want something more. It is an unending struggle, and the happiness therefore is very transitory. The happiness is looked for in the things around. And there is this nice ice cream, and let me grab it, and then I will become so happy. Now, well, the happiness lasts only till you get the ice cream and it is gone. It is, even if you get a sensation of pleasure, it is only while the ice cream is rolling from lips down the throat. And then after that, we know it is, then the hard work begins after that. So it is, the happiness is very transitory there. It is only in waiting, and the happiness is waiting to get it. Ah, I will get it. It is, well, if I get married to this boy or girl, wow, what happy life I will have. And you people work for that, work hard for that. And then even if they have to do something wrong, they say the end justifies the means, and they will go to do it. And then, well, that in a little while that happiness just vanishes. But one doesn't learn quickly. That is the problem with this Rajasika temperament. Instead of understanding that the problem is that I am not seeking happiness in the right place, it is here and not there. This understanding doesn't come. Instead, the message that you get is very different. That probably this boy or this girl was not right for me, that is why I am suffering. Let me try for another one. It is a very funny situation, that maybe this flavor of ice cream is not. That is why you see in this we keep on always changing things. Not constant, because you had one flavor of ice cream and then you saw that it was okay, but then you feel that I should change and do get something else. That is why here you keep on changing in Rajasika pleasures. Today you want this thing, tomorrow you want that thing, day after tomorrow another thing. It is very much like a restless kid, the mind, you know, playing with the toys. The kid picks one toy now, for 2 minutes is very much involved with it, and then loses all interest, throws it somewhere, and picks up another. The grown-ups also do the same thing, but well, in a little different manner. But they also keep on changing their playthings all the time. So that is the nature of this Rajasika happiness, to keep on running and rushing, and every time suffering. This Rajasika pleasure. So it is told here how it is. Vishayendriya sanyogad yattad agre mrutopamam pariname vishamiva satsukham rajasam smritam. The happiness that arises from a contact between the objects and the senses, which is like nectar at the beginning but like a poison at the end, is said to be Rajasika. It is, in the beginning it holds lot of hope, and you go for it. And what happens? The pleasure is gone in a second, but the bondage survives. Your mind gets attached to those things, and it does not therefore bring any happiness. You become more and more bound by those objects. So the pleasure goes away, the bondage remains, and therefore at the end you get the suffering from that. It is therefore always suffering, always misery. That is the end result of this, pariname vishamiva, that at the in the end these pleasures, so-called pleasures, they invariably by their very nature have to breed suffering, because you were looking for pleasure where it was not, and thus the end result will be you won't get it, In fact, you will feel at least two things happen there, that wasted efforts, that is suffering, getting something that you didn't want actually, that is a suffering. Third thing is a tendency gets generated to again and again go for it. You don't want to go, but now a seed has been put. It is like the seeds, you know, weeds, they grow of themselves. You do not plant them as such. Nobody says that I want to plant weeds. But you do not buy them from the shop. But then they come automatically. And then before you know, they take over. So, when we do these kinds of actions to get pleasure, the action is gone. What has it left is a seed. It is a very important psychological truth, friends, that why people, even though they really don't want to do wrong actions, what propels them to commit the wrong actions? The seeds that have been put by your actions. We do something, we feel that I have done, finished. No, dear, it is not finished. What I have done has left a seed. That seed, what is a seed? A seed has a propensity to sprout. In the same thing, if you have a seed of, say, mango, it will sprout in the tree of mango. It will bear mangoes. So, what action you had done earlier, now you don't want to do it, but the seed is there. You probably at conscious plane understood that it was not the right thing to do, but now the seed has gone there. And seed, one seed doesn't produce just again only one seed. It produces hundreds of seeds and it grows exponentially. So, soon it becomes a big pressure, big force, that in spite of your not wanting to do it, you are forced, pressurized to do it. That is another problem with this rajasika pleasures, because you act and although you don't get the what you were desiring or looking for, you have thrown inside in this land of mind a seed of something that you did not want. Well, so actually therefore a spiritual practice involves in weeding them out too. The weeding work also needs to be done a lot. Anyway, so this is the nature of the rajasika pleasures, that you go for those pleasures, because of misperception that the pleasure is there, we see all this activity going on and always continuously changing activity. So, you get bound, suffering all the time and in the state of indecision and what can be done now. And then the tamasika pleasure is of that type, pleasure of indecision, that will be described now. And yadagre chanubandhe cha sukham mohanam atmanah nidralasya pramadottham tattamasamudaritam. That happiness. Now, a sane person will find it difficult to call it happiness also. But if we analyze our lives, many times we take happiness in such things. That happiness which is self-delusive, both at the beginning and at the end, and which arises from sleep. Sleep means, again, not really sleeping, but being inertiatic, being not doing anything, that kind of sleep. Sleep, lassitude, and inadvertence is said to be tamasika, that you do not know what is to be done, so you do something just without caring for it. The action is done just as a matter of habit, even without really looking for pleasure. But that is how this person's pleasures are. Okay, let me sleep. We see this, that many of our actions for so-called pleasure, they are done automatically, even without getting or trying to get pleasures from them. Many times people put on TV to see the TV, and then the TV is going on and nobody is actually seeing it. At many homes I have seen this. It is just going on. Who is watching it? That person may watch for half a minute, then is busy with something else. It is, nothing is being done. There is no serious effort in anything. The pleasure also is not being sought really by concentrating on something. It is done in a very inadvertent manner. Okay, you feel tired after a while, sit on a couch. The pleasure of such person can be like being a couch potato. Sit there and do something, that tendency to be even active. Doesn't want to do any work whatever, just wants to not do anything. Because any initiative needs some spark of life. That spark of life is not much there. So the tendency may be there, say, let me go to a movie, that tendency will come. But there won't be actually going to a movie. Another thought will come, hey, what is the use, go there and then heart of it, and let me not do it. And I can sometimes watch it on TV or computer and forget it. Won't do that. Then a thought may come, okay, let me cook something and eat nice, or go to a restaurant and eat something nice. Even won't do that unless the hunger demands it. But for pleasure, the activity is lacking. Laziness, that is a characteristic mark of this person. The pleasure is in that. And then in irritation, in causing pain to others, that is the suffering. That suffering of others then becomes pleasure of this person. Feels that how I taught lesson to that fellow. What lesson and what did you get out of it? But that is how the pleasure comes. You know, to make others suffer, this fellow becomes happy by making somebody else suffer. How nicely I retorted. It is what is the happiness there, but no, a tamasika happiness is like that, getting angry, getting irritated, and hurling abuses on everything, that kind of happiness, we feel happiness in that sometimes. So that is when it comes, this description will tell us, hey, this is the tamasika tendency in me that is bringing up the hood. This person becomes very easily, therefore gets irritated, because the happiness lies in that, getting irritated. Say something, what? I don't know what I'm saying. So it is not that there is any coherence anywhere. The activity is irrelevant, irreverent, means really nothing, no positive result for anybody ever accrues from that, no pleasure even in the regular sense. It is sukham mohanam atmanaha, very beautiful words. The pleasure is only in delusion. It doesn't want to see even the I mean the relative reality, let alone the absolute truth. But even the relative reality, you don't know, this person doesn't want to see and understand. That is why pleasures of getting intoxicated, this is a tamasic pleasure. What pleasure is there? Well, you just shut all the your avenues of knowledge and understanding and feel happy about it. Getting intoxicated and knowing nothing, it is what is pleasure about it? And this is the tamasika pleasure, that if I drink or if I take some drug, then you go in a delusional state and people feel happy about it. I got a kick. It is. So you get a kick out of it. What a word, you know. Do you want kicks? So that kind of happiness is this tamasic happiness, delusional. That you want to create hallucination for yourself. And thus nothing really is obtained out of it, but a sense of that nothing, now I am sleeping, I am getting nice big sleep. So this happiness is also there. So the idea is, let us change our lives to a higher and higher level of happiness. A person who is tamasika may try to get actually a positive activity in life. And a person having that, let that person understand the truth and get into a spiritual endeavor, that they struggle to evolve spiritually. That happiness is happiness of evolution. So, Lord has told these things so that we will become more and more aware. Whenever all these tendencies are in us, many times we see that kind of happiness coming. For example, somebody is wanting something. You also wanted it, but you see somebody wanting it, so you give that to that person. You feel happiness. That is a happiness of evolution. Why? Because now you have expanded your self-awareness. You are in a way, not consciously, but you are feeling the same self in somebody else. And that is why you have a higher sense of happiness. When some service is given to someone, then you feel a sense of elevation. You evolve spiritually, and thus we can all experience this happiness. In fact, that is what is taught in Karma Yoga, that you work for others, and thus you will see the same self manifesting more and more through others, and thus your happiness also will keep on growing. More and more happiness will come your way. The Rajasika happiness, those tendencies come in us. Let us remind ourselves whenever they come that, well, I am doing it to get happiness, but what I am going to incur is bondage. What I am going to incur is really suffering, and I will have to work hard to uproot all these weeds that will come by performing this action. That will make us beware. So, and tamasika, whenever that idea comes, let us remind ourselves that this is not really play. It is delusion. It is creating hallucination, degrading myself. Should I be doing this? Should I become so low level? Even animals are better. They do not consciously want to get deluded like human beings want to. It is therefore one should remind oneself about these things and try to go to a higher and higher level of happiness. And what the result will be? The result will be, since happiness is the guiding principle in our life, as our happiness becomes higher, our life also will become higher. So we see such a different variety of people, their style of living. Some say, I don't now want any other thing. My pleasure, my happiness is leading a meditative life. That's it. I don't need to do anything else to get happy. It is, I meditate, I think of God, I get happy. You know that story of a person who used to just sit on a beach and just meditate. A few young guys thought that this fellow is wasting his life, and they thought, let them tell him something, at least teach some lesson to him, that he should work. He should be active, not sitting so many hours wasting like this. So they told him one day that, what are you doing? Well, I am just meditating, I am restful. So why don't you do work? Said, what will that bring me? Well, that will make you active. You can start a business, or you can get a good job. Okay, suppose I get it, what I will get out of it? Then you will make lot of money. Okay, suppose I get it, what will be the result? Then what will happen then? Well, then you will have a nice house, you will have everything that you want, and you will live a peaceful life. That man said, that is what I am doing now. I am living a peaceful life. You have a problem, not me. So it is our lifestyle changes, you know, that it is, it happens. We feel that, what is this kind of life? One man, he was a big businessman, and back in India, I was returning from some lecture tour and was sitting in the bus. He also was sitting by my side, and then he saw at my monastic robes and all that, so he knew, so he asked that, Swami, don't you think by taking up this kind of life, you seem to be an educated person, but don't you think that by taking this kind of life, you are missing so many good things, so many nice things in life? I asked him just one thing, that looking at my face, do you think that I am missing many things? And that man said, well, no, I have rarely seen a happier face. And you know that it is true that you don't have to get so many things piled on you to become happy. It is the happiness varies. A sattvika happiness, a rajasika happiness, a tamasika happiness. So as our sense of happiness evolves, our life also evolves accordingly. So this is a very important key. Next we will see that Lord says that all these three gunas, they cover the whole ambit of our existence. Sattva, rajas, tamas. We shall try to analyze and understand that verse in our next Friday class. Any questions about today's discussion? Yes, that's it.
I was just wondering that does Gita talks about nirguna also? I mean, there are three gunas, each guna has its own.
That is the state of going beyond gunas. That, of course, it has spoken many times. Yeah, that these gunas, they are three types of ignorance. One is very rarefied, I mean, it's not really much of ignorance there, very little ignorance. The sense of I and world is still there, but it is very subdued. That is called sattva guna, rajo guna, tamoguna, more and more dense ignorance. But when you go beyond all gunas, that is the goal. In fact, the 17th chapter and then 14th chapter, they were devoted how one transcends the gunas that we had in Bhagavad Gita. You will see the transcendence of gunas. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. You are all aware about the upcoming retreat on June 1st, Saturday, June 1st, and there is still time for registering. So those of you who would like, you can register in the book room or you can register online. Let us conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyachatra Vistarehi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmajvinesrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantrah Tasya Namaniyani Karmapyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu. Thank you.